kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
It's difficult to understand sometimes how the Lord works. We know that he works in ways past finding out. And we so long at times, don't we, to be all together, face to face, where we can worship the Lord, like we understand church and church meetings are. But God never makes a mistake. And I was only pondering and thinking today that so much of our teaching of the deeper life has been very much online. That has been the nature of it. And obviously that doesn't take a lot of working out, because this is the way God gets his word around the four corners of the earth. But you know, there is something deeper and greater in all this. As I say, it's not a mistake. It's all in the divine plan of God, even this meeting today. And this is why I'm calling this teaching our glorification. Our glorification. You see, we have got to remember that the ultimate purpose of God is to make us glorified sons. God has presented sonship, and some see this and some don't. The word of God is quite clear that when you are born again, you are children of God. You are a new creation. You are his family. But God is also looking for sons. You see, sons share in the estate. Sons share in the father's business. Sons take on responsibility, because they are eventually going to take over. That is the idea of sonship. And we know that the idea of this comes out of Roman understanding. The Romans would adopt a son, an heir, even though he may have a family, he might even have sons, but he can decide to adopt a son and train him himself so that he can take on the responsibility. He can take over the house. He can take over the business. And it requires the father in which to train the son. And this is the idea of sonship. It means that God is training us for the future. He is training us to minister and work alongside with his son, Jesus Christ, when he comes back to rule and reign on the earth. The Bible is quite clear that not all are called to do this. Some, we're shown, will be resurrected at the end of the 1,000 years. So there are different orders to the resurrection. But we are waiting for the coming of the Lord. We are waiting in which we can be translated from these natural fleshly bodies into this spiritual body that our Lord Jesus already is now in. And not all, brothers and sisters, hear this. We know this through the deeper life. We know this through the word that has gone out over the years. Some receive it with great joy, as though this is what I've been waiting for, this is what I wanted to hear, and others just see them as other sermons. I know when I began to hear the deeper life in the Spirit, and I was introduced to Faith Assembly and Brother Freeman, I knew I had need of this manna. I knew that this was what I was looking for. I don't have any understanding why this is. I couldn't put my finger on it. All I knew was, this is where I will grow. This is where I will be fed. And I cannot tell you over the years how many have said that, not only with regard to those who have been teaching the deeper life in the Spirit, but also what has come out from FGA. There are some who just say, this is where I will grow. I will become fruitful. This is where I will develop and mature in the faith. Now, the question is, brothers and sisters, how is it we have this? What is it that makes us witness to this? What is it within us that knows that this is preparing us for the coming of the Lord? Well, it comes by the Spirit. It comes by revelation. And it comes especially that you have been called from the foundation of the world to be an heir, a son, a daughter of God. You have been called in which you will work in the vineyard, spiritually speaking, with our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Very much with regard to the deeper life teaching, the emphasis of it has always shown us what we are coming to in the future. There is a great revelation and vision of the deeper life teaching and what we are being prepared for. Again, that was another thing that spoke to me. It pointed me to the future. It pointed me to the fact, well, I'm not just going to get saved and go up in a glory cloud and live with the Lord Jesus Christ in peace and harmony. No, no, it revealed far, far more than that. It revealed what sons are being trained for the future. And as I say, some see this and some don't. But like all of these things, God has to call. God has to anoint. God has to open our ears that we hear. We don't understand in many ways why it is we hear what we hear. We don't understand why it is that we so desire more of God and His Word. These are affections that He's put within our hearts that we don't really have answers for. It's like love, isn't it? How can you describe love? How can you describe somebody you love? It is so difficult to put it into words. And the only way it can be experienced is when you are touched by it. And it's the same with God. It's the same with His love. It's the same with this calling of sonship on our life. You just know that it is God. You just know because it is building you up in the inner man. Unless we have been built up and edified, when we come together like we are now, then it's a waste of time. What is the point of going into these rooms? What is the point of coming and sharing and listening unless it changes us? Unless I leave later on a different person than when I arrived, because I have been brought into the presence of Almighty God. That is why the power of the Holy Ghost is so important in the gathering, in the church. It is so important, the power of the Spirit of God that changes and transforms us. How we need this in our lives, because we can soon become stale and despondent and wonder what on earth it's all about. That is why God has given us a vision, because we're told, aren't we, that without it, my people perish. In other words, they get lost. So we need to know what the goal is, what this race that we're in, what the rewards are at the end when we win it. And you say to me, well, I'm not sure whether I can win this race. You know, I'm not really very good at anything like this. Well, it isn't up to you. That is why God empowers us by the Spirit to win this race. And God never loses. And this is where your childlike faith comes in, you see. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, I've been opening up with this, and I haven't forgotten the title, Our Glorification. As I've said, the ultimate purpose of God is to make us glorified sons of God. That is, in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, where do we get the idea of this? Well, turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Well, let's take it from verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children or sons of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So this is all in the context of the coming of the Lord, being prepared for his presence. This is what the apostle is speaking about here. Now, we know, we believe strongly, and it's confirmed so many times, we are now in the last days. We are getting ready for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the signs, everything is revealing, is showing, which Jesus clearly spoke about in Matthew 24. I've preached much on that, so I'm not going to go into that. But what I am going to say here, he says, beloved, now we are children or sons of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. So in other words, it has not been revealed physically yet, because we haven't been translated, but it is being revealed to us spiritually and through the Word of God. So it is imperative that what we are destined for must prepare us now in this life, in the assembly, through the work of the Holy Spirit. We have to be prepared, because as we are being prepared by the Word of God, that is what keeps our eyes focused on Jesus, focused on the future of what he has for us. Because the next great event for the Christian church is the glorification of the overcomers, the rapture, or the catching away, that we call it. Now, of course, there is variance on that. Some believe that you go through the tribulation or there isn't going to be a rapture or whatever. We believe the scriptures clearly show that there will be. And we get clues from this because he says that it has not been revealed what we should be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So all that God is giving to us now is preparing us for his presence. And his presence is going to be seen first in the clouds. That is where his presence will be first, and that is where we will meet him as we are called away, and we will meet him in the clouds. But we have to be prepared for that, brothers and sisters. We have to be worked upon spiritually to get us ready for his presence. So, verse 3 clearly reveals what he's doing with regard to getting us ready. We're called to walk in full commitment. We're called to walk as disciples of Christ. Not a Methodist, not an Anglican or a Roman Catholic. No, we're called to be disciples of Christ. And to walk by faith. Because all this enables us to mature as sons. This is why we came away from organized religion and Christianity, where man is running it, where man is in control. You will only go so far in that environment. God has always called his church. The time he called the church in the upper room at Pentecost in Acts 2, they were all assembled together and they were under the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he said to the disciples, I will come back to you. That is through the Holy Spirit, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And sadly, Christians are making exactly the same mistake that Israel made. Israel was called of God. God called them out of Egypt. He had a leader for them. He led them through the desert. They saw the miracles of Almighty God preserving and keeping a nation of people, and they started to grumble and moan to Moses. And then as they go on, and they go under the ministry of Joshua, they're going into Canaan to possess the land and so forth, they decide they no longer want God as their king. They want to have a man. And so in the end, you know the story, Samuel gave way and he let them have a king. And we know who that king was. It was Saul. And it was nothing but trouble. Saul brought trouble to Israel, and it caused them even further to rebel and sin. And we know the story of what went on. Why? Because they rejected God as their king. And this is happening again today, brothers and sisters. There are many of our brothers and sisters who want a man. They want to feel secure by eldership that controls and dominates. They want to be under a man's ministry. And it's the same type of sin. God has given us the Holy Spirit. He has said, I will come back to you. This is what he said to the disciples. In other words, when he had them in the upper room, and they were filled, empowered by the Holy Spirit, there the church was birthed. Visibly, that is to be seen. And they were under the headship of Christ. They knew Christ had come back to them. That is why they were so empowered. They knew who this was. They knew that experience that they had received. not just speaking in tongues. They knew Christ had come back. He had come back to be head over his body. And that was going on for about the first 120 years, 150 years, until gradually the Holy Spirit began to leave. They lost the baptismal experience. They wanted to start to have a man. They wanted to look like others. They didn't want to look different. And there are many professing Christians today who don't want to look different or be different. Are we embarrassed of our Saviour Jesus Christ? Are we embarrassed to say, I'm under his headship, I follow him and not a man? Is that an embarrassment to us? It is to a lot of Christians. It was to Israel. We should be proud of that. That should be the greatest honour and blessing, that we have been brought out of bondage, of tradition, religion, that doesn't save anyone, and brought under the banner and headship of Jesus Christ and him alone, because he's head of the church. It is his body. And he is the one that adds to it and baptizes us into it to function, so that we worship God in spirit and in truth. That is what it's about. And the sons of God will see that, and they know that, because they know that under God's presence, under the Lord's presence, that's where I will flourish. That is where I will be delivered. That is where I will get healed. That is where I will be changed in my heart, changing this heart of stone to a heart of flesh. The sons of God know that, and they're looking for that. And I knew that. I knew I had been brought out of tradition, and I had a lot of tradition in my early days in church. Believe me, it was a miracle how God got me out of it, that. But I knew when I came under the Lord's presence, I'd come home. I knew this is where I will grow and flourish and walk in covenant with God. How active the devil has been, hasn't he? Dividing Christianity. And we've got Christianity today that can't agree on the basics. They bicker, fight and argue. Thank God we're delivered from it. You don't grow in environments like that. That's not to be found in God's house. In God's house, there's unity and oneness and peace and harmony. And that is to be experienced. But sadly, a lot of churches don't experience that. It's nothing but bickering, strife, and so on. You cannot grow in pastures like that. It's the same in the family life. You can take that over to the family life. Children cannot flourish and grow properly when husband and wife are bickering and arguing with one another all the time. It's not rocket science, this. Well, how much more when we come into the house of God, when we come together in fellowship, just like this, where we can grow and flourish by the Spirit of God. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17, as we know. So here it is. He's called us into commitment as disciples of Christ to walk by faith in these last days. In order for what? To be manifested to groaning creation. Let's turn, if we will, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, which says here, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plottings, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That is a healthy church. That is what should be happening. And it is done through the ministry. It speaks there how God has brought us back not only under the headship of Christ, but the gifts that he's put in the body. And also the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher to help to equip us, to mature us, to deliver us, to heal us, to teach us, to cause us to grow up into sons, daughters of God. If you had a child and you watch your child, because your child should start to grow and develop, and when you don't start to see that happening, you become concerned. And rightfully so, because that's revealing something's going very wrong with that child. And that can happen. Well, how much more then do we take that over spiritually into the house of God? There are so many who don't want to grow up with God. They still want the milk of the word, but you can't, you can only have milk for a season. We have to go over onto the solids, the meat of the word, in which we can start to grow and mature, so that we can learn infinitely more about God. There's so much God wants to reveal to you, brothers and sisters. There's so much he wants to show you. He wants to draw alongside with you. Don't ever stop God from doing that, because they are signs that you are growing, you are maturing. And this helps us, this encourages us. This is what makes us hungry for more of God. And so here we are, we're growing up, we're maturing, and we're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to groan in creation. Do you know the divine order that is being achieved in all of this? I'll just put it to you briefly. It's discipleship. We have to be called as disciples. And then through discipleship, he begins to show us sonship, where we can become heirs, co-heirs with Christ, working with him. And then there's the manifestation, when we're going to be revealed to groan in creation and then glorified, taken up in the rapture. That's the order of this, brothers and sisters. And it's important that we understand. And this is the vision that we follow and see, because nothing else fits. And we've listened to it. There's, praise God, there are many, many blessed sermons and teachings and ministries and whatever, but unless they are teaching that God wants sons in these last days, he wants maturity in the house of God, then it's not going to be completely all that God has for us. Some teachings bless their hearts. They are lovely teachings, but you won't grow with them. They maybe are for just babes that have just come to Christ. But when you start growing, you get an appetite. And you find you don't want the milk any longer. You want the solids. There's something calling out for it in your heart and spirit. I know it was with me. And praise God when you find it. Because it's like you've come home. It's like you've done a long journey, but I'm home. I'm in the pastures. I'm in where God wants me. This is where I'm going to flourish. This is where I'm going to grow. This is where God can use me. This is where the greater works is going to be for the last days. These should be the healthy signs, brothers and sisters, that should be within us. Let's turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. We all know this very well. We've read it many times, but I think this is very applicable in what I'm talking about here today. Acts chapter 2, and let us take it from verse 14. And this is where they baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now Peter gets up and he gives his first sermon. And this man now is preaching by the power of God. He has now been baptized. Christ has come back. And Christ has now made his home, his abode now in Peter. The same as he has with you and me. That's what it means. And listen here. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." Because when they received the baptism, remember, people said, "Are they drunk? What's wrong with them?" "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, that was 2,000 years ago. And there he's quoting from that famous prophecy. And there they have experienced the former rain. But we're also told in that prophecy that there will be a latter rain to come before what he speaks about, the coming of the Lord. And he speaks there of the great tribulation that will take place. And he goes on, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man arrested, attested by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." And then it goes on about David and how that David, his throne was pointing to the throne of Jesus and so on. So look at this event that's taking place. And look what he says to God's people. He says, "You put him to the cross." He's quite clear about this. And of course, they become very convicted by this And then they ask that question, then what must we do that we must be saved? And then he brings them through into leading them into salvation. So that is the former reign that's taking place there, brothers and sisters. And we're now waiting for the latter reign before the Lord Jesus returns. And this latter reign is to manifest the sons of God to groaning creation. And here it is in Romans 8. And this is the least understood today, sadly, in Christendom. I know I read this often, but I make no apology with this. In Romans 8, and we'll take it up from verse 12. And here it reveals sonship through the Spirit. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. There you are, there's the key to it. That's why we take up our cross daily and follow the Lord, because the cross deals with the self-life or the selfish life that can be in us. And it goes on, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That is indeed the working of the cross. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So in other words, what it is saying is, you have been trained by God, you have been empowered by God, where he has so worked with you that you are led by the Spirit. In other words, you do only that which he reveals. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Here it is, you have been adopted as sons. Going back to what the Romans did. I said this at the beginning. Sonship there, where they adopted a son who would be an heir that would take over the household or the business or whatever. And this is what the Lord is doing here. He has called out sons to himself, and he's going to prepare his sons through the Spirit, through the Word of God, through faith. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. There we are, we have a revelation of our Father. He has adopted me, and he is my Father. He is your Father. There's the revelation of it. And he says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And that's what I was saying at the beginning, wasn't I? How we witness to this. We don't understand it, but we just know that it is right. I just know this is God. I know this is his word. I know his hand, his touch on my life. There's the witness there. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So everything is Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has come baptizing you, empowering you to take over. Not you, not your strength, not your ideas or what you think. He says, I've come over, step aside, I'm going to take over now in your life. That is what he's saying here. And that is what sons will do. Sons will allow the Father to take over, to teach us, to work for us, to help us. because otherwise we make a mess of it. We fall flat on our face. And we do. And this is why sometimes God allows us to go off for a season and just do our own thing. And what do? When we do our own thing, we find we fall flat on our face. It's unfruitful. Nothing happens. All goes wrong. And we come back and we realize God was teaching us a lesson, because he says, you can do nothing without me. They're not just words, brothers and sisters. They're not just what you read on pages. This is experience. This is to be translated into experience. The word of God is to be translated through the Holy Spirit that has baptized you to make it your experience. And this is what lacks in the house of God. That we've just got spectators just being entertained and listening. It's far more than that. When we come together like we are tonight, the word of God by the Spirit of God is to be translated into deeds. It's to become your experience. Why? Because the word of God is alive. It is living. The same as Christ is living. He is the living word, the Logos. And he's come back to us to recreate all that we read in his word into our lives. Isn't that wonderful, brothers and sisters? How can we go wrong with that? How can we reject that when he's come to take over? And he wants us to get out of the way. And you know, when you begin to see God do it his way, you don't want to touch it. You don't want to interfere. You just want to move with him. That's why he comes in relationship to us, so that we walk side by side. That's what covenant means. God has come making a covenant with you and I to walk together, side by side, to walk just like Jesus did when he walked those three years. This is what he's doing. And it goes on, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So in other words, it's saying, you know, what we're coming into, what I go through, what trials I go through, or tests, or whatever it is nothing in comparison to what I'm destined for. You see, that puts everything into perspective, isn't it? For the earnest expectation, here it is, of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. The world out there, people out there, nature, animals, all that you see out in that world is waiting for deliverance. It's groaning under the weight of sin, bondage, lies, confusion. You know it, because we were brought out of it. It's waiting to be delivered from that. This is why, sadly, at first, they will receive the Antichrist, thinking that he's the Messiah, bringing this peace at long last upon the earth, releasing us from this bondage and lies from politicians and being cheated and robbed and so on. Look how he's going to come, convincing them that he's the Messiah. But he's not. Because you see, God is in control. See how God is going to do this. He's going to set this in motion first with his body, the church. God does nothing outside of his church. Everything he does is in his body, the church. The doorway into the kingdom of God is set in the body, the church. He has set that door. That door is there right now, this moment. And we can enter through into it. As he says, for the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So God in his mercy is going to deliver groaning creation. And the deliverance will come when his feet come and stand upon the Mount of Olives, and he will come with his hosts, and he will come with us also, the overcomers, and he will come bringing paradise back on the earth. That is what the world is waiting for. For we know that the whole creation groans and labours with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, for the redemption of our body. And that's what's happening with us. We're saying, come Lord, come Lord Jesus. He's preparing us. He's getting us to look up, to look away from this world, to look up, to look to him. How's he doing this? Because we're groaning. There are times we've had enough. We've all of us, haven't we, come to the end of ourselves. Lord, I can't take any more. I'm at the end. Well, these are the experiences of groaning. These are the experiences where whatever we go through, we find it turns us back to looking to him and knowing that he has it under complete control. It's like we're in labour, these labour pangs. When is it going to stop? When will the birth happen? When will the man-child be seen? When will the overcomers be manifested? It's the woman in labour, ready to give birth. And when she gives birth, there's the joy. And she's forgotten all about the pain and the labour because it was all worth it. So there we are. We get this real depiction here that the apostle gives of the earth, the world, the church waiting for the next great event of the manifestation of the sons of God to groaning creation. And he says, likewise, the Spirit who helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So there we are. There's the power of the Spirit helping us. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And there he is. He's making intercessions. He's making intercessions for us right now. He's making intercessions for you, that your faith will fail not. He's interceding, supplicating that you will be preserved, you will be kept, you will be made whole in mind, body and spirit. There you are. They're the prayers of Jesus' heart. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So whatever we go through, whatever's happening, it's all working together for good. Why? Because God never makes a mistake. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the first among many brethren. There you are. He foreknew you, even before the creation of the world. In other words, you always have been in the Father's heart. That's what it means to foreknow. You always have been in the Father's heart. He also predestined. So not only were you always known, but you have been predestined. It means you have been called for a purpose, for a reason. You have been predestined to become a son, a daughter of God, to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is always the ultimate purpose of your being foreknown and called and predestined for the very purpose that you are in the image and form of his Son, Jesus Christ. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Remember, I said to you a couple of weeks ago that the whole of creation, the creation of the earth, everything that we see and everything was not created for man. It was created for his Son, Jesus Christ. And you are a part of that. That is why you are created in his image. He is the eternal Son. And the Father gave all that he created for his Son, Jesus Christ. And his Son, Jesus Christ, wanted man in his image to fellowship, to walk with in covenant. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, those he also justified. And whom he justified, those he also glorified. There you are. So he's predestined you as sons. He's called you. He's also justified you. In other words, he has made you right in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the only one who could pay the debt. He could justify us. We couldn't do it. So we're justified in him. Those he also glorifies. And that is our glorification. And that is the next great event that is to take place, I believe, brothers and sisters. And sonship is to be found through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we receive. Nothing else fits in any of this. Nothing else. This has to fit in this divine plan that God has for his people, for the church, for the overcomers. And sadly, some see this and some don't. But blessed are your eyes, your ears, your heart, for flesh and blood does not reveal this, but this comes by your heavenly Father. Hallelujah.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.